everything. But back not too long after I surrendered to the ministry and was called to pastor, but I went to a church. We had, our children were small. They were five. We had five children. They were all small. We went to a church, just a pulpit supply, and there were seven people there. And we made seven, so there was 14. So you're a crowd to me. I appreciate it. It's good to see everybody today. Well, we get to worship our Lord in word now. So if you'll turn with me to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. It's a song of thanksgiving, triumph, exaltation. The title of my message was a paean of praise. Paean is a hymn of praise. It's a chorus of praise. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. If you'll stand with me, please, in the honor of reading of God's Word, we'll read together Psalm 100. And I am reading out of the New American Standard Bible. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations. Father, we are grateful again for the privilege we have of gathering together in Your name. May all that we say and do this morning honor You and give You glory. Thank You for these who are here in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. A song of thanksgiving, triumph, exaltation. Verses 1 and 2 refer to praise. Verse 3 is exaltation. And verse 4 and 5 is thanksgiving. So if you were taking notes, that would be the 3 points. Praise, exaltation, thanksgiving. In verse 1 and 2 says, shout joyfully to the Lord. And I believe that the King James Version says a little bit different, a little differently, says to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And that's what some of us do, and that's okay. On the bringing it before the Lord, 42 times in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, he says, make a joyful noise. In other words, to raise a noise. We're exhorted to and come with our whole heart, or with banners, or with clapping, or with shouting, or with noise making, or singing, or thanksgiving, or praise, or blessing, or prayer, or the lifting of hands, or with the trumpet, or the psaltery, the harp, the tambourine, dance, the organ, and we could go on. The psalm is full of how to come before Him. And in fact, Psalm 150, probably a favorite of yours as it is mine, says, praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty deeds. Praise Him in His mighty expanse. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with harp and lyre. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. Praise Him with stringed instruments and pipe. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And so we're exhorted to bring our praise before the Lord. What we want to do is do it in a manner that is decently and in order, isn't it? Because we're in a fellowship. We're in a group. We're a congregation. The Lord says do it. What we want to do is not let our liberty, our personal liberty, perhaps offends somebody else. But I believe that if somebody believes in sitting or standing, raising hands, they want to lay prostrate, you brought your tambourine, I believe we ought to be free in the Lord to worship as long as it's decently and in order if we're praising the Lord and giving Him the glory and not drawing attention to ourselves. I like what the Moravian Brethren, how they used to come together because all across Europe they would gather together and they said, let's come together, unity in essentials, liberty in non-essentials, such as the way you might choose to worship yourself, and then charity in all, love in all when they came together. And that's really the way we ought to. So as we continue to grow in our grace and in our liberty in this church, in our congregation, should you choose to stand, sit, move about, get in the aisle, it's perfectly fine with me. I think it's perfectly fine. Does not go against the grain of what this church stands for, because what we stand for is coming together to give glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the only reason that is the fundamental reason we gather together. Brother Hempstead gave a good message this morning on our communion. It is the reason we gather. Anything aside from that, we should have just stayed home, slept in this morning. Probably some of us could have after the meal we ate a few days ago. But we have a reason to get together, and that is the main reason, because of the lifting up of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason would be why. You'd have to ask yourself why. Why are to? Now, he did a wonderful job of the thanksgiving, of the giving of the thanks. But why are we drawn to that, to the Lord? Besides, not just the physical. I mean, we can all give thanks for our families, for our food, for clothing, for shelter, for those kinds of things. But why really? Because as he stated, the Apostle Paul had been without some of those things. And perhaps you or somebody in your family are without right now some of those things. And can you still give thanks? In other words, have we reached the point in our spiritual life where God could remove his physical blessings and we still would honor him, trust him, give him thanks? Has that happened? Have we grown? But in Genesis 1:1, we read, "In the beginning, God." So it kind of kicks it off. It kickstarts it, doesn't it? In the beginning, God. We know God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, unchangeable in his wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, truth. And we read that, "And God said," in verse 3, in verse 6, in verse 9, in verse 11, verse 14, verse 20, verse 24, verse 29, "And God said," when he created light, heaven, land, grass, trees, sun, moon, stars, fish, cattle, man. And he said it was very good. So we're recreated. Man is created in his image. And if we're created in his image, then the basic reason then I would want to thank him and praise him is because of that, because of who he is and who I am in him, correct? So God's purpose and plan, now this side of creation, 6,000 years later, his purpose and plan hadn't changed. We read in Genesis 1 that was before the fall. He said it's very good for us to praise him, thank him, give him all the glory because we are his creation. The earth was very good and we're very good. But then by Genesis 3, man fell, abdicated the throne of what God had intended. God had originally intended that man be prophet, priest, and king, to rule and reign with Christ, to interpret God's will and to represent nature's needs and to receive and dispose of God's bounty. But we abdicated it by chapter 3, didn't we? And we gave it over to the enemy of Christ. And fortunately for us, the Apostle John tells us that Christ came that he would defeat the works of the enemy, restore us to that place. And so now from Psalm 8, after the fall, we read that for you, man has been made a little lower than the angels. You've crowned him with glory and honor. You've made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. You read the exact same verse in Hebrews 2 of the New Testament. So he has restored us to that place that we have of being able to be that prophet, priest, and king for him, to serve with and for our great high priest. So he's restored us to that opportunity that he has given us. Who with Jesus, of course, seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. The Bible says, therefore, he is able to save or deliver us a little? No, to the uttermost. Those that come to him, or those that come to God by him, seeing that he ever lives to make intercession for us. So we see that his mediation then on the throne is as real and indispensable as the cross. Nothing takes place without Christ's intercession on the throne, sitting on the right hand of God. And we see that let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. So we share with him in all he is and all he has. Romans tells us in 8:32, with him freely God has given us all things in Christ. What a privilege we have then for exaltation, the reason we have to give him glory, honor, praise, thanksgiving. The Bible says, you, us, also as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, holy priesthood, offer up spiritual sacrifices accepted to God, acceptable to God by Christ Jesus. So we're fellow partakers with him of his anointing with the Spirit as high priest. That's hard for us to fathom, that God has coupled with us, has partnered with us to continue his work on earth in Christ's stead, isn't it? That's hard for us to grasp in our nature, because we do fall short of that glory. And because of that, we don't make excuses. We just don't live up to the privilege and ability that he's given us. Because in the Old Testament, we knew that every priest knew that if he offered a sacrifice, presented a sacrifice according to the law of the sanctuary, it was accepted. God would accept it. But we have that same privilege. So if we pray for a loved one, and we've done what Christ tells us that we need to do according to the law of the sanctuary, in other words, we're walking, we're abiding in Christ, we're living holy and righteous, we have men's interest at our heart rather than our own, then we have that high and holy privilege as well to partner with Christ in his work on earth. We know that Christ is God's everything, and in him all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily, and we are complete in him. So our highest and holiest privilege is to join with him in his work on this earth, period. So it gives us a reason then for the exaltation. So we have praise in verses 1 and 2. We have the exaltation in verse 3. And we have the thanksgiving then in verses 4 and 5. We get a picture when we read 4 and 5. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for the Lord is good, his loving kindness is everlasting, his faithfulness to all generations. We get a picture of the holy temple of God, both described in the Old Testament and in the New. Because he told from Moses forward, said, make it in the pattern that I'll show you on the mountain. And so we get this picture in our minds of the outer court, this beautiful temple. You've seen pictures, I'm sure, of the temple as it used to stand in Jerusalem. In the outer court, and then the inner court, and then you, as you enter the inner court, the altar where the priest would make sacrifice for the sin, and where they would wash with the laver. And then as they entered the holy place, you would have the candlestick on the left with the seven lights there, representative of the light of Christ, and you'd have the showbread on your right, which is representative of the body of Christ, and you'd have the altar of incense next to the veil that was representative of our prayers coming up, the prayers of the saints. And then as you enter, if you were allowed to enter the Holy of Holies, you would get this representation then of Christ, of God himself being there, and the mercy seat being available for us so we can enter boldly into the throne room of grace. And so you get this picture of the holy temple of God, and you would do it reverently. And you do it with awe. It seems I've been reading more and more, and whether it's through our social media or even as you listen to messages, it's becoming a little bit more irreverent when you hear people talking about the Lord. And they talk about inviting the Holy Spirit to a party, or they talk about God being our daddy and things of that kind. And that kind of bothers me, because I can't imagine. I kind of feel like we'd be more like Isaiah in his vision when he came before the Lord. And he says, woe is me, because I'm a man undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, because he saw God high and lifted up. And I got a feeling that might be a little bit more how it really is, rather than me going around saying, you know what, God loves, he's my daddy, I can jump in his lap and hug him. And that sounds good, and it sounds intimate, but I'm not quite sure that's really the picture of the great I am. I think we would come before him with a little bit more fear and trembling, wouldn't we? We'd be more like the Apostle John in Revelation, where he saw the magnificent Christ standing before him in all his glory. He couldn't look on him, and he fell before him as a dead man. That's probably the way that it would happen if we see God Almighty in standing in front of us. If we had the privilege of going with Peter, James, and John to the Mount of Transfiguration, and we saw Jesus where you couldn't even, the sunglasses couldn't keep out that kind of brightness when he was transfigured before their eyes, and he saw Moses and Elijah visiting with the Lord of glory on that mountain. I suspect we'd be like them, where they fell down in front of him. They couldn't even look on him. I suspect it would be more like that. So we would do it with a little bit more reverence and awe, which would cause us again to give praise, which would give exaltation, which would give thanksgiving. We have every reason in the world. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have every reason in the world, regardless of outside circumstances, to have anything less or do anything less than give Him praise all times. The Bible says to rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, because this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Why? Because of who He is and who He has made us. We are His creation. He restored us to that place back in the very beginning. We're going to talk about this a little bit more. Should I have the privilege of resuming a message in January, we're going to talk about it a little bit more as our place in Christ now. Not when we get to heaven. We have that to look forward to. Eternity, we have it to look forward to. But what about now as we live our lives? We have a stupendous privilege to live with our Savior now. And I'm very thankful for this church. I'm thankful that God has led us to this point, to this place. You know, a lot of things, and I'm sure in your lives as well, we don't understand. And God chooses not to give us the full picture. I wrote in my Bible here, and I want to read it so I can get it right. Lord, he says, I reckon on you for extreme service, with no complaining on your part, no explanation on mine. He's called us to a task. We, regardless of when eternity will be ushered in, have a limited amount of time in our lives to complete that task that He's called us individually to do. And then corporately, I want to encourage us to continue to pray, as I spoke last week, pray from now through Thanksgiving for each other, for our family, for our friends. And that God would raise this church up to be the light that we've always wanted it to be in this county. And I believe He will. I believe He'll honor. As we come before Him as priest of the Most High, offer a sacrifice that's acceptable to Him, He'll say yes and amen to our endeavor. And we too then would be ones that we don't have to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. to everyone that believes, it is the power of God and will not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Well, today we have an opportunity to, again, it's not necessary to come down here. I'll be down front. Brother Richard's here. Brother Jeff's here. Should you choose to pray with one of us, you're more than welcome to come. But you, in your very seat now, as we stand, you can rededicate your life, a commitment as we come to the new year, to be individually and then corporately what God would have us to be. Perhaps you're searching for a church home. I would invite you to speak with one of us. We would love to have you join fellowship with us as we grow in grace. I trust that you had a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving with your family, with friends, with those you love. Let's continue to pray for them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we're grateful for the privilege you grant us of coming together in your name. We thank you for this message of thanksgiving and praise. We thank you, Lord, that it's our highest and holy privilege to be co-workers with you, to carry out what you've started. You say, Lord, that greater works will we do because you go to be with the Father. So, Father, we thank you for that. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.